This is David French in for Jay Sekulow talking about the brawl on the beach, breaking down the GOP debate today on Jay Sekulow Live. It won't be long,
yeah. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Don't forget who it was that cut Medicare by $500 billion. And that was President Obama to pay for Obamacare. So let's not forget that. And the fourth new entitlement, Obamacare, you repeal that one and finally get our balance sheet right.
New York City pays their janitors an absurd amount of money because of the union. You could take one janitor and hire 30-some kids to work in the school, and those 30 kids would be a lot less likely to drop out.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
They would actually have money in their pocket. They'd learn to show up for work. They'd be getting money, which is a good thing if you're poor. Only the elites despise earning money.
The governor.
That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
This is David French in for Jay Sekulow, who is coming back from South Carolina, where he was in the middle of everything down there at the GOP debate, and that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. We'd love to get your calls and get your thoughts on the candidates, what you saw, what you heard. What is it that that moved you? Did you agree with anything? Did you despise anything you saw in there? It was quite a brawl. It was quite a brawl. If you want to weigh in on this, 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Now, a couple of things before we get to the calls and before we start taking your calls. One thing that struck me and was truly important to understand as we were watching that debate play out is the political battle, as interesting as it is, the political battle, as fascinating as it is, that horse race, as much as it causes us to, you know, have a debate and a fight with one another, we have to remember that that's just one front on a much larger battle for the future of this country. And before we get into the discussion of politics, we need to talk about something very important that ACLJ is working on right now. We are working on stopping Obamacare. We are working on going to the Supreme Court on behalf of 119 members of Congress. That's 119 members of Congress to argue that Obamacare is unconstitutional. We're going to be filing another key brief that gets to the heart of the issue, the individual mandate in this case. And we need your support. We need you to sign on along with those 119 members of Congress to stand with them against Obamacare. And you can sign on by going to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Or you can sign on by calling 1-877-989-2255. Debates are fascinating. Debates are interesting. And the presidential race is incredibly important. But we have to be prepared to fight for our constitutional liberties regardless of who is in the race and regardless of whether Obama wins or loses. Now, on to the debate. Now, one thing that struck me is the crowd. I would love your takes on this. I think the crowd had a huge influence on the perceptions of this debate. This was a crowd that was wanting red meat. And you could see as it went on that the candidates began playing up to the crowd. They began saying things that they knew would get a reaction. And that has an interesting dynamic. It's almost as if like when a basketball player hits a key three-pointer and the crowd goes wild and it stokes more energy and more momentum. You could almost see that in some of the candidates, and I think it played to Newt Gingrich's debating strength, frankly. He had some crowd-pleasing lines, but are those the kind of lines that will win in a general election? It remains to be seen. We've already seen the phone lines lighting up, and we're going to get to your calls after the break. But before your calls, once again, remember that we have to fight these battles in the political front. We have to fight these battles in the legal front. ACLJ.org, 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to our petition to stop Obamacare. Regardless of who wins in November, Obamacare is still unconstitutional. It has to be fought, and ACLJ is fighting it on your behalf and on behalf of 119 members of Congress.
This is a very important time. With the Supreme Court poised to hear oral arguments on Obamacare in March, the clock is ticking. Time is running out to send the Supreme Court a message. Obamacare, the government-run pro-abortion health care law, is not only wrong for America, it is unconstitutional as well. More than 100,000 Americans already have signed on to a critical amicus brief filed by the American Center for Law and Justice at the Supreme Court on the Obamacare case. But round two is just around the corner. The ACLJ is just weeks away from filing a second amicus brief with the High Court, urging the justices to strike down the individual mandate, the provision that forces Americans to purchase health insurance. This is the time to add your name to that brief. You can make a difference. Stand with the ACLJ now. Tell the Supreme Court it must reject Obamacare. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Seculo provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Seculo Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Seculo tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org.
Well, the GOP candidates tried to hit Mitt Romney with their best shot last night. Did it work? Want to hear your thoughts on this. Want to hear where you stand. Now, to be clear, we want to hear where everyone stands on this. What do you think about Rick Santorum? What do you think about Newt Gingrich? On this show, we're not endorsing candidates. We're breaking down what happened. And we've got calls in already. Let's go first to Mickey in Texas. You have a question about Newt Gingrich.
Yes, I just wanted to say didn't get to watch all the debate last night, but, you know, and over the course of the last several debates, Newt seems to perform well on the debates, and, you know, being a historian, he seems to be able to stand for, you know, implement new policies that are going to clean up Washington, and I guess maybe a twofold question, maybe what are his Christian values, or what do you see as Christian values, and what is maybe the negative that so anti-Newt. Maybe I'm missing. He just seems to be strong and, you know, get rid of Obama health care and just several things that seem to be on the conservative side, but I'm just curious what I'm missing here.
Well, thanks, Mickey. I think you're hitting the nail on the head on Newt's strengths. I mean, there is no question that this guy has forgotten more policy than most of us will ever know. He's well-read, extremely well-read. He's very quick on his feet. He can put together a perfect answer to a question in seconds and do it in a way that's crowd-pleasing, that gets the crowd going, gets the crowd excited. And so there's no doubt that the debate format is where he shines. And I believe it's Rich Lowry on National Review who said if all that mattered to presidential success was debating, then Newt would be a clear front-runner. The problem that many people have said about Newt is that he comes with a lot of, for lack of a better term, baggage. He's had ethics violations in his past. He had to pay a $300,000 fine when he was Speaker of the House. He was kind of chased out as Speaker of the House by his own party after some severe losses in off-year elections. And as far as the religious question, there's a lot of talk about Newt's faith. Newt became a Catholic later on in life and has indicated that that's had a profound effect on him and has changed his life in a lot of ways. But, you know, none of us, I don't know Newt personally. Where does he stand in his heart? I don't know. But one of the reasons why people are having qualms about him is that there are past behaviors that indicate that he's been involved in some scandals. He's been involved in some some issues in his personal life that have been pretty rough, including an affair while the Clinton impeachment proceedings were going on. And all of those things, you have to look at the whole package. And one of the things when you're watching a debate, you're seeing a particular side of things, the ability to answer on your feet, the ability to respond to your opponents, and you're not getting an entire picture. And I think another candidate on the flip side of that, Rick Perry, says, hey, let's not pay attention to the debates. Let's pay attention to my many years of record as a Texas governor, my ideas, the fact that I may not be as quick on my feet as a Newt Gingrich shouldn't be a qualifier, or disqualifier. We've put an awful lot of emphasis on these debates, and there's no question that he's done a good job again and again and again. But there's one thing I want to play, if we could play bite one, and I want to play this and illustrate a point.
During your visit to a black church in South Carolina, where a woman asked you why you refer to President Obama as the food stamp president, it sounds as if you are seeking to belittle people.
The fact is that more people have been put on food stamps by Barack Obama than any president in American history. I know among the politically correct, you're not supposed to use facts that are uncomfortable.
See, that's an interesting statement that plays very, very well in that debate audience. You heard the crowd kind of explode, and the crowd was continually exploding throughout this debate. But, you know, I wonder in a presidential election where you're trying to reach out to not just the conservative base, but across the spectrum, how well does that play? And we have to keep these things in mind as we're thinking through who the best candidate is. Newt Gingrich has been very good in the debates. On the broader record, that's where a lot of people are beginning to criticize him. Let's move on to David from Connecticut. I believe you have a question about Mitt Romney.
Yeah, I think Mitt made a critical error when he was clumsily sidestepping the release of his tax returns. I just think it puts a question in the voters' minds before Saturday, and I think it's unnecessary. If you're going to have to release them in April anyway, why not release them now if there's nothing to hide?
Well, you know, you raise a question a lot of people are talking about. I mean, there's no question, even just on style points alone, that response on the tax return question, he was kind of stumbling around with it. And it's almost as if he was formulating exactly a timetable in his mind as he was talking. You know, the interesting thing is that presidential candidates have released tax returns for years and years and years, and they've usually done it at a particular time. I believe it was set April. I don't know if that's right or not. But they're a one-day story. Who remembers anything about any presidential candidate's tax returns? They're not something that people care about. So, you know, the question in raising that issue and kind of stumbling over it, do you make it more of a story? Do you make the failure to release the returns a story when the returns themselves wouldn't be a story? You know, this is interesting. It's exactly one of those kinds of process arguments that we get into in primaries that sometimes distract us from the actual issues that are dominating people's minds. Here we have one of the most sluggish economic recoveries and most jobless economic recoveries in modern history. We have deficits that are spiraling out of control. We're literally bankrupting our country. Yet how much of the time in the debate was spent talking about super PACs and tax returns? Who cares about super PACs and tax returns? That doesn't put one person back to work. It doesn't reform entitlements. It doesn't do anything to transform our nation's future and to restore our trajectory back to the greatness that America is capable of. But we spent so much time arguing about that. We spent so much time talking about who started what super PAC ad or who's going to release tax returns or all of these process arguments that are great inside baseball for political junkies, but they really don't matter to anyone who's actually concerned about their next paycheck. And, you know, that brings me back to our work here. We major in the important points. We fight the important battles every single day. We're not sitting around worried about super PACs. We're not sitting around worried about tax returns. We're fighting core constitutional battles. And as fascinating as these political debates are, as interesting and important as they are, because the presidency is obviously very, very important, our constitutional liberties have to endure no matter who the president is. Our constitutional liberties have to be protected no matter who the president is, and that's what we do at ACLJ. So right now, we're in the middle of one of the most significant, if not the most significant, constitutional battles of our life as we fight this grotesque expansion of federal power through Obamacare. If you go to ACLJ.org, you can sign on to our petition. We have 128,000 signatories on that petition, along with 119 members of Congress. That is a significant number of members of Congress, and that's a huge number of our members who are expressing decisively, emphatically, we need to preserve the constitutional structure and our country. We need to preserve a federal government of limited powers as opposed to unlimited powers. And we're right there on the front line doing it every day. And these things are the critical, this is the critical issue that's facing our country, not the super PACs, not the tax returns, but our core constitutional identity. And we have to fight that battle no matter who wins in November, no matter who wins the primary. We have to be there every day, year in and year out. We've got a couple of minutes left. Quickly, let's go to Marcus in California.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call. Something that I've been noticing, every time Mitt Romney comes on, he's just saying, let's help America. Let's do this, do this. And he's not hitting the issues. And every issue that comes up, he's, like what you said earlier, he's sidestepping them. So where does he stand? I don't like this because he's being a politician, which is exactly what Obama did. Because if we vote him in, what is he going to do?
Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for the. I think one of the things you have to see, realize when you're watching Mitt Romney in the debates is that he has one eye on his competitors in the GOP debate, and he has another eye on Barack Obama as the ultimate opponent. And so his answers are designed to appeal to the people who are in that audience cheering, but also to people watching on TV who might be independent voters. And independent voters need to understand some basics. And that's why Mitt talks constantly about the opportunity society versus the entitlement society. He's trying, he has one eye on the GOP primary electorate and one eye on the general electorate. Will that be a good strategy? We'll see. In the meantime, we've got a couple more calls to get to in our last segment. But once again, go to ACLJ.org. Put us over the top. We're at 128,000 signatures. Let's get to 130. Let's get to 132, 135. You are making a difference and making your voice heard in a vital constitutional battle.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Seculo provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Seculo Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Seculo tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org. This is a very important time. With the Supreme Court poised to hear oral arguments on Obamacare in March, the clock is ticking. Time is running out to send the Supreme Court a message. Obamacare, the government-run pro-abortion health care law, is not only wrong for America, it is unconstitutional as well. More than 100,000 Americans already have signed on to a critical amicus brief filed by the American Center for Law and Justice at the Supreme Court on the Obamacare case. But round two is just around the corner. The ACLJ is just weeks away from filing a second amicus brief with the High Court, urging the justices to strike down the individual mandate, the provision that forces Americans to purchase health insurance. This is the time to add your name to that brief. You can make a difference. Stand with the ACLJ now. Tell the Supreme Court it must reject Obamacare. Add your name now. Call 1-877-877-877. 989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind?
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is David French, Senior Counsel at ACLJ, standing in for Jay Sekulow as he comes back from South Carolina, where he was at the thick of things down in the GOP debate and the conferences down there. Well, we can't talk about the debate without talking about Ron Paul. And again, I want you guys to call in. I want our listeners to call in and give us your thoughts on the debate, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I mean, the polls are showing that Ron Paul is up there fighting with Rick Santorum for third place. Some polls show him within striking distance of second place. And during the debate, Ron Paul was, Ron Paul. Let's go to bite seven.
You want to make major cuts in defense spending, several hundred billion dollars in the coming years. That inevitably would cost South Carolina jobs.
I want to cut money, overseas money. That's what I want to do. I want to cut military money. I don't want to cut defense money. I want to bring the troops home. I'd probably have more bases here at home. The military's behind me more than the others. I get twice as much money from the active military duties than all the other candidates put together.
Now that is an interesting statement. He gets twice as much money from active military members than all the other candidates put together. Guess what? According to the latest figures, that's actually true. He does get more money from active duty military members than every other GOP candidate combined, and including Barack Obama. So he has some support amongst the troops. It's interesting to me. Now, I served in Iraq and during the surge in 07-08, and I'm still in the reserves, a captain in the reserves. And I can tell you I met Ron Paul supporters, and I meet Ron Paul supporters in the military every day. And I think one of the things that's driving their support is that they've been fighting for 10 years, been going back sometimes again and again and again, and they find it difficult to see progress out there in Iraq and Afghanistan. These are broken cultures. These are countries that are very difficult to change, and there's a huge amount of, for lack of a better term, inherent violence within these societies. And so these are troops who have been bearing this burden for a very, very long time. And I think it's vitally important to maintain and consistently defend the argument as to why we fight. Not just for the benefit of those people who are civilians out there, but also for the benefit of those who are in the military. We have to keep that vision out there of why we fight. Because believe me, when you're in the middle of it, when you're over there and you're away from your family, it is difficult to maintain that focus. We got a couple of calls about Ron Paul. Let's go first to Paula in Florida. Paula, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi there.
Hello. How are you doing? You've got a comment about Ron Paul?
Actually, yes. I'm not sure exactly how his wording went, but I'm all for bringing all our troops home. You know, it's about time. They've been gone too long, and I'm not sure I've seen anything that's worth them staying for.
Well, you know, I understand that sentiment. I know there's an awful lot of people that agree with you, but I think one of the things is we have to understand who our enemy is. I've seen that enemy up close. A lot of other Americans have seen that enemy up close, and they know that our jihadist enemy will not stop unless they're defeated. And that's why I think it's incredibly important for the candidates to articulate not a vision of fighting forever, but a vision of fighting to victory, that you bring troops home when you've won the war, not just because you're tired of the war. Because believe me, the jihadist enemy is not tired of the war. They exist to fight the war. One of the things I appreciated when Governor Romney said something in response to these Ron Paul comments, when he talked about when our enemies are trying to kill us, we have to fight and kill our enemies. We don't negotiate with the Taliban. We defeat the Taliban. At some point, it became politically incorrect to speak the language of victory, of having peace through victory, not peace through leaving the battlefield. And I think that that's vitally important for our men and women in uniform. It's vitally important for our country to lay out a path towards victory, not just eternally fighting, but victory. We've got another caller about Ron Paul, and this is Robert from Colorado. Robert, go ahead.
I think Ron Paul had some good things to say, but he scares me a little bit because if you just pull back and let the jihadists take over the rest of the world, then when they knock on your door, they're going to have a lot more troops than you ever have.
That's a good point. I mean, pulling back doesn't make jihadists weaker. Pulling back and withdrawing from these conflicts does not make them weaker. It makes them stronger. In fact, we've pulled back before. We've pulled back under other presidents. Sad to say, one of my heroes, Ronald Reagan, pulled back from Lebanon after a horrible terrorist attack killed more than 200 Marines. We had Bill Clinton pulled back from Somalia. And every time we have pulled back, the jihadist enemy has trumpeted that as a victory and used that to recruit more. These people feed off of victory. They do not feed off of defeat. When you defeat them, they have trouble recruiting. When they're in victorious, they have no trouble recruiting. And so it's the opposite of the truth to think that we're going to secure our country by pulling away from fighting jihad. Great call, Robert. We've got, I believe it's Henri in Nevada. Go ahead, Henri.
Hi there. I just wanted to comment on what every time I listen to Ron Paul, his fiscal commentary makes somewhat good sense, but his foreign policy is totally out of touch with reality. I had the blessing to work with about 80 Arab women from across the Middle East and North Africa in 2005, and I went to Kuwait City for a week. And I taught these women how to run elections and how to run for office with a number of other ladies who had gone. We were part of the Middle East Partnership Initiative there. And I had a chance to sit down with about 25 Iraqi women. And I asked them, I said, well, do you want the Marines to leave? And they literally turned green and said, oh, nah, nah, which is no in Arabic. And I said, well, the press tells us you do. And they proceeded to tell me about the gruesome tortures and beatings and burnings that some of them had experienced in Saddam Hussein's prisons and the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis who had been tortured to death and how grateful they were for our Marines and how grateful they were for President Bush.
Henri, we were running out of time, but I'm glad you made that call. Thank you for your work over there. And you raise a great point. I mean, the reality is, the fundamental reality is sometimes the only thing standing between a lot of Middle Eastern women and stoning and gruesome death is the United States Marine Corps or the United States Army. And what we have to do as Americans, what we have to do as Christians, what we have to do in GOP debates is provide a vision and a hope for victory against jihad. Thank you for hanging with me when Jay was out of town and on his way back. He'll be back with you soon. But in the meantime, ACLJ.org, put us over the top. We need 130,000 signatories on this petition to defend our Constitution, to stop Obamacare, and to keep fighting the good fight for your constitutional liberties, no matter who wins the GOP nomination and no matter who wins the election in November.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Seculo Show. Jordan Seculo provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordanseculo.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Seculo Show via email, info@seculo.com.